I'm sorry for the interruption of your usual viewing. And please don't try to change channels.
This is Rush to Reason. Ta-da! With John Rush.
There's only one man who would dare give me the raspberry.
Well, we have something to aspire to then.
And Dan Muir.
I don't know what it is, but it's phenomenal.
Discussing the issues that matter to you.
Don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, tell you what to do, what to think, or what to feel. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men.
Finding real answers, using logic and reason.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I get it. I swear I've seen a lot of stuff in my life. But that was awesome.
Let's do this.
Now, here is your host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And a good Monday afternoon to everybody. Dan Muir in for John Rush. Welcome to Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. My co-host for today is Mr. Jamie Daniel. Jamie, how are you, sir?
I am doing awesome.
Awesome, dude. All righty, and Jamie.
I like that.
Oh, yeah. There we go. We're talking. That's it. I'm telling you, baby.
I thought that was the cops. I was going to take off out of here. Right. I didn't know what was going on.
So Jamie, and the show that you do every Saturday.
Yes, every Saturday live at 9 p.m. Rachel Maines, Jamie Daniel, yours truly, 95.3 FM and 1220 AM. You can stream us live on cornercaferadio.com. That's every Saturday. We interview artists, Christian artists, jazz, pop, hop, rock, whatever. We bring them in and tell the story behind the music. It's an incredible show.
I don't know, Jamie. I didn't hear country. That's sounding kind of racist to me.
You know what? We do have country.
You left them out.
We do have country, Dan.
Country music.
We have a little something for you.
Because you know, if you leave anything out anymore, you're racist.
That's true.
Yeah, forget anything.
Well, that's why I had to hurry up and just jump back in there and tell you. Country.
All right. So
bluegrass.
Blue. Ooh.
Well, we haven't had any guests, but if they are out there, come. Join the show.
And how do they get a hold of you?
They can go on our website at cornercaferadio.com and leave a message, and we'll get back in touch with them, myself or Rachel Maines, and we can bring them on the show live every Saturday at 9 p.m. You gave me another plug. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. And joining us right now is the man himself.
The man.
He claims to be the most conservative guy in the room, but I think he and I arm wrestle for that title all the time.
I am the most conservative guy.
Brother. Okay, Casper Stockham.
You're not in the room.
There you go. Casper, how you doing today, man?
Doing well. Doing fantastic. I'm operating on actually no sleep since 12 yesterday.
Really? So you and I have about the same sleep cycle thing going.
I drove all night, and then I came home, took a shower, and then I headed to the parade.
All right. Okay, first of all, before we talk about the parade, and today is Martin Luther King Jr.'s we observe his birthday today.
Yes.
And so tell us, what's your big announcement?
So on Friday, I announced that I am once again jumping into the congressional race in City 1, running against Diana DeGette.
Ooh.
We're going to do it again.
You really need to
bigger,
take her out.
Bigger, badder, better than ever.
You really need to take her
out. We are back. We are black.
You got to do it.
We're mad.
No, what was that? We are back. We are black. And we are mad.
And that is not Black Lives Matter, of course, right?
No.
That is awesome.
Because they do matter, but so does your life.
Yes.
Your life matters.
No, you said that to Jamie, not me.
Your life matters too.
Oh, it does. Yeah. Well, that's amazing because I know of people that said, you know, all lives matter.
Yeah.
And they were chastised.
Yeah. You can't say all lives matter because that's a direct confrontation. What you have to say that works perfectly when they say black lives matter, blue lives matter, whatever, you say, yeah, your life matters.
I like that. It is all in the messaging, isn't it?
Yeah. 100%.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, Casper. So you're decided to run for Congress again.
Yes. Why?
So, yeah. Well, first of all, you got it.
You lost your mind.
You know, anybody that runs for public office to me, it's just, you know, first of all, they should be committed.
I would agree.
And if they win, they are.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, so, okay, so why? Why?
So, the short answer is, over the past year, Donald and I have been in the community working with Project Purpose, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, trying to find politicians, business people, anyone who would support us in our effort to teach purpose in the inner city to the youth. when we do it, we have phenomenal results. But it's like a very onesie-twosie kind of thing. We need to do this on a mass scale. When we do it, it's fantastic. The lights come on. The kids get excited. They want to go on to do much bigger and better things. But we weren't getting any support, like no support. I talked to gubernatorial candidates. I've talked to Democrats, talked to Republicans. I've talked to dog catchers. We talked to everybody. And we could not get any support. So what I decided to do was, instead of begging and pleading and trying to pull or push the Republican Party to do the right thing, I'm going to run again and show them what I want them to do. So I'm going to lead and show them what I want them to do.
Lead by example?
Lead by example. Yeah.
Very, very good. And what do you think your chances are?
They're better than they were.
you're absolutely right. I don't think in that district historically, now you can correct me if I'm wrong, but in that district historically, have we ever tried running the same Republican again and again and again?
I think so. I'm not quite sure.
And ever's a long time.
Right.
Let's just say in recent memory.
Yeah. In recent memory, no. You know, it's like a one-time shot and then you kind of go away. So I got 28% last time. And
that you know, we call that a foundation.
That's a foundation. It's not bad. Now, others have gotten more than that. So I want to also say that I have much respect now for the candidates who have run before, because it's not as easy as I thought it was. The last time I ran, I was actually pretty cocky because I thought that there's no way that a lying, cheating, stealing person could stay in office when I would come in with solutions. Mm-hmm. I would come in with, you know, offering some things the community has never seen before. And I just thought, you know, I could just walk right in and just win it. Now,
yeah,
I know,
but you don't
know anyone thought that.
If the lying, cheating, and stealing is lining people's pockets.
Exactly.
That's what happened, I guess.
Yeah, that's a tough hurdle to overcome.
Yeah, yeah, you know, so, I mean, she has her special interests that support her and all these things, and I just knew that if I went and talked to the community and said, look, this is what I have, they were just going to fall in love, and they didn't. They're like, yeah, whatever, dude. You're Republican, right? Yeah, whatever.
But you bring up a great point here. How do you overcome that Republican stigma?
It's tough, and I'm going to have the same challenge this time, but since then, like I said, Donald and I have been in the community, so they've seen me in the community. In fact, I've had three or four top community leaders, if you will, come up to me and say, I know you lost, but you're here. You're still here. We see you, right? Mm-hmm. So going into this race, I've got more support from leadership than I had before. And I'm going to really build upon that. We've got some plans that I don't want to necessarily go into on the radio here, but we've got some plans to reach into the community far more than we ever did before and get their support. If I get the community support, she loses.
Now, Casper, would you say, because you mentioned this in your conversation, the special interest groups,
mm-hmm.
that's the biggest opposition do you feel in that community or in that district? Are there special interest groups?
Well,
and how would you get to either get the interest on your side
mm-hmm.
from those special interest groups?
Her special interest groups are not going to join my team because
they're
Planned Parenthood and organizations like that that are taking things away from the community, or they're using and exploiting the community. So they're not going to join my cause because I'm trying to enhance and uplift the community. Mm-hmm. And they're not even about any of that because that's going to empower the community. And when the community is empowered and they have careers and they have businesses and they start paying taxes, then they get excited when there's a tax break, mm-hmm. right? So these special interest groups that support her are not going to support me. And I really don't care if they do or not. What I'm trying to do is expose what's going on, get more leadership to back me in the community. But I also have a challenge on the Republican side because Republicans don't want to spend any money. I mean, like zero money.
No, if they feel it's a losing district, they're not going to drop a dime.
Right. And that to me is that's a really bad way to look at it, in my opinion. I'm not suggesting at all that they put all the money on CD1. I'm not saying that, but they should put some money in because the more ground that we gain in CD1, the better the state does overall, you know, so we've got to keep
So you're saying it's beneficial to at least put something in there, make a presence in the community so the community knows that hey, you know, the Republicans even, I hate this word, but care about us or recognize us.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, we don't like to say that, but that's exactly what needs to happen, because the narrative is Republicans are racist. So how does somebody prove that they're not racist if they're not racist? Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's talk about that when we get back.
Okay.
Because that's where I want to go next.
All right.
Okay, let's affordable interest mortgage, our buddy Kurt Rogers. And if you need a VA loan or if a home improvement loan, or maybe you're looking at the asset manager loan and you're a small business owner, this is the perfect loan. It's the one that John has. And quite frankly, it works really, really well. Kurt Rogers, affordable interest mortgage, 720-895-0500.
The feds have raised mortgage loan limits. This allows you to take out cash at lower rates and pay off that high interest rate debt, or do that home improvement that you keep putting off, which will increase your value even more. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of you have taken out a mortgage or loans with mortgage insurance. With these new loan limits, you can refinance now and stop worrying about the second mortgage being increased as rates continue to go up, or refinance your home up to 95% of its value and eliminate the mortgage insurance payment. Did you know that having a mortgage insurance payment is like raising your rate 1 to 1.5%? Put that $200, $300, $400 of MI in your pocket, not the bank's. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. With these new loan limits, you can now purchase more home at lower rates, all without mortgage insurance. AIM has been your locally owned and operated neighbor since 2001. Online paperless applications, close quickly, get the respect you deserve. 720-895-0500. Take AIM now and see the difference. NMLS 298191, regulated by DORA, equal credit lender.
Okay, Life Choices. Life Choices has the Sharp Shooter competition coming up. Now, Life Choices is driven strictly on donations. They receive absolutely no government funding, and they don't charge for their services. And so if you want to help support Life, if you really, really want to take a shot at Planned Parenthood and stop some of these unneeded abortions, I mean, at Life Choices, you know, they show the ultrasound. They do not do that at Planned Parenthood because they do not want people to keep the baby, especially the mother. You know, if they don't show you the baby, you don't really know it's a baby. That sounds kind of crazy, but a lot of people don't. It's true. So Life Choices has their sharp shooting event coming up. It's $85 per shooter, but if you go online to lifematters.org and enter the promo code KLZ560, you'll get $5 off. I've been to this event. It's a fantastic event. It's something for the whole family. Get out there and help support Life Choices and tell them Rush the Reason sent you.
Saturday, February 10th, rescue unborn babies while challenging your shooting skills. Sign up today for the 6th annual Life Choices Sharpshooter Competition. Enjoy a catered dinner at Front Grange Gun Club in Loveland while you compete for Best Shooter of the Night. Best of all, your ticket extends a message of hope to women facing unplanned pregnancies. With 5 medical centers across northern Colorado, Life Choices offers pregnancy tests, ultrasounds, and prenatal support free of charge. Every year, hundreds of women decide against abortion because of Life Choices. And the 6th annual Sharpshooter Competition will keep that good work going. Your $85 ticket includes dinner and the competition. Plus, you can enter to win a brand new handgun. Saturday, February 10th at Front Range Gun Club in Loveland. Register today at lifematters.org. Enter promo code KLZ560 for $5 off your ticket price.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
And welcome back, everybody, to Denver's Afternoon Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Dan Muir in for John Rush. Along with me today is Mr. Jamie Daniel, his co-host of Corner Cafe. And you can hear Corner Cafe when and where?
95.3 FM, 1220 AM, every Saturday live at 9 PM. You can stream us live from any electronic device at cornercaferadio.com.
Sweet. And joining us is Mr. Casper Stockham, now candidate for CD1, Casper Stockham.
Yes.
And Casper, we were talking about messaging.
Yes.
And we were talking about, you know, how the left, everybody on the right's a racist.
Right.
And so that we just simply, you know, on the right, we're like, no, we're not. And you're saying we got to do more than that.
We absolutely have to do more than that. And just like the leaders in the community are now telling me, we see you because you're here. Right. Even though I lost, I was still in the community. That's what the Republican Party has to do. They need to always be there, just like they need to have a presence at the parade every year. They need to go into the communities and start working, you know, rolling up our sleeves and start working with the folks in the community.
Now, the Republicans have been there the last several years. Were they there again this year?
Yes, but the weather was kind of bad, so it was a small crowd. I think we had maybe 20 or so people there.
Mm. Okay. Well, at least they made a presence.
They did make a presence. Yes.
Because I'll tell you what, if they were trying to come up out of Douglas County, it was not easy.
Right, right. So, no. Some of them came up from Colorado Springs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't easy either.
No.
So that was quite the chore.
So the key is to show up. Now, in the beginning, you're going to show up and just be seen, but you really need to start working a plan to provide economic empowerment in the community, and that's what Project Purpose does.
And Casper, I know this sounds sort of superficial, but is it being seen like half the battle? Just showing up?
Showing up is half the battle. It's actually more than half the battle. And you would think that after 5-6 years of myself and Derek Wilburn, who was the vice chair of the Republican Party, founder of American Conservatives of Color, you would think that after 5 years of us pounding this into the heads of Republicans that it would have made a difference. And it has, but not enough. That's the problem. We still have Republicans that say, well, we don't see what the point is. You know, why should we go down to 5 points? I had some Republicans tell me, so I did a press conference in 5 points during my last election. And I tried to get like 200 or 300 Republicans down there. Had that happened, it would have made national news. That's the point, right? We want to be seen nationally doing stuff like that. Had that happened, I would have probably gotten 30-40% vote.
Now, the reason why when they made that statement to you, they weren't interested in going down there because the people down there just don't vote, or what's...
No, the people down there vote, but they almost always vote Democrat.
Okay.
But unless we show up, they're going to keep voting Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And my point was not necessarily to save 5 points. What I was trying to do was show the community that Republicans cared just as much as anybody else. And we have solutions, whereas the other side, they say they care, and they do nothing. So Republicans... The Democrat Party has exploited the black and brown community, but the Republican Party has ignored the black and brown community. And until we start to bring those two forces together, nothing is going to change. It's not going to improve for the community, and it's not going to improve for Republicans getting those votes.
Yeah, you know, that's just as bad, exploitation or ignoring somebody, you know, when you're looking in the political realm. I mean, you don't just ignore a whole voting block.
Yeah. And if the voting block keeps voting the same way, eventually you're not even in the equation anymore because they know exactly how you're going to vote. So they don't even bother even counting you anymore because it's a given, right? So you've got to be mobile. I suggest every black American, Hispanic American or whatever, just go independent and then have the parties guess. Well, I don't know, they're independent now, what do we do?
that's not a bad idea.
Yeah,
you know, I just you know, I look at the inner cities and I look at what's going on, and what's, we're talking about special interests and things going on down there, Casper, like that, and I wonder, how do you overcome? The left is really good at lining pockets, and it's really good at, I mean, it's,
but
it's under the table. There's a lot of payola going on out there.
Right, but they're not lining the pockets of the inner city, because if they were, then the inner city would be...
But they've done such a great job of turning conservatives or Republicans into the boogeyman.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That
So in the case of the boogeyman, if your child comes in and says, there's a boogeyman in my closet, and you say, no, there's not. He says, yes, there is. So then you have to go to the closet, turn on the light, look underneath the bed, look in the closet. You got to do all these things to show the child that there is no boogeyman.
Well, you're talking about re-education then.
Yes.
You have to re-educate them.
Yeah, education and empowerment.
And so, in other words, the Republicans have to come out and say, hey, we are not the boogeyman.
Right, and then say, prove it. Yeah.
How do you do that? No, really, how do you do that when you are so demonized? I mean, it's one thing to prove there's not a mythological...
You'd be surprised.
You know, there's not a ghost in the closet, right?
Yeah.
But how do you come out when quite frankly, you know, the inner city has been programmed to look at life one way. Mm-hmm. You know, Republicans look at life another way.
Right.
And we come in and we start saying the things that they've already got to know as triggers to say, oh, that's the boogeyman.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the boogeyman.
Yeah, so
how do you overcome that?
Absolutely. And how I overcome it is I don't talk first world to the community. I talk third world. And what I mean by that is Republicans talk first world about stuff. They talk about roads and bridges. They talk about 401ks. They talk about IRAs. They talk about ISIS. They talk about the budget. All those are first world problems. In the inner city, they are, in their mind, they're trying, okay, how do I keep food on the table today? Mm-hmm. How do I keep my kid from getting shot tonight? You know, I mean, these are real basic human needs. So Democrats are masters at talking about this. That's why they bring up the race card, because that's a third world thing, right? This evil master type person is, you know, racist, and they're I have to save you from them. Okay, that's a third world kind of deal, right? So it's hard for Republicans to grasp that concept, but you've got to change our marketing. You've got to change our language, and I do. When I go into the inner city, I never talk about roads and bridges. I don't talk about the potholes in the road. Yeah, there's potholes in the road. We drive over them all night long.
All the time,
right? But in the inner city, if there's a pothole, they don't really care because they're not driving anyway. They're riding a bus, and the bus breaks down. Another bus comes, and they hop on the bus.
Okay, but you're making a great point here. So how do you merge these two worlds? How do you get – because there's got to be some understanding on the other side too. You know, we're here, you're there. I can count on two fingers the number of times I've ridden a city bus.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think I was a kid both times.
Right. Okay. Right. So how does a salesman make us okay. When you're in sales, if you're not retail sales where you have like a box store or whatever, if you're in outdoor sales, you're going to the customer, right? So the Republican Party has to go to the community. The community is not going to say, you know what? Let's try those Republicans out. I think somebody said they're not racist. That's not going to happen. We have to go into the community and show them that we're not racist. Now, I go in all the time. Donald and I are in there all the time, and I'm saying Republicans are not racist. And they say, of course you're going to say that because they told you to say it or whatever. And then when I turn around, there's no Republicans behind me. So I need validation. I need for the Republican Party to support me in the community. If they did that, that almost would be enough. If when I turned around, I had their support. I had them talking about what I'm doing. I had them showing up at events, supporting me.
Casper, why would that help? Illustrate that picture. Mm-hmm. What does that show that community if the Republican Party is behind you?
It shows the community that the Republican Party is supporting a quote-unquote black man in the community. It also shows when there's an event going on like the MLK Parade, the Republican Party is part of the sponsorship. You know, they're doing some of the sponsoring of the parade. And they have the funds to do this. This is not like, you know, they don't have any money. They got money. When I hold an event, they could sponsor part of the event or whatever. Show the community that they are investing in the community.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying, Casper. So for me, I guess there are people that just going to have an idea about Republicans no matter what. Mm-hmm. So would it be more beneficial to you to hit the spiritual leaders in that community so you can a lot of times get the masses from the spiritual leaders of that community?
And that's who we normally start with, you know, mm-hmm. because they have the biggest following and so forth. And they are the perceived community leaders. So we start with those folks. In fact, I'm going to be meeting with one of the largest ministerial organizations in the community and sharing this information with them. See, I have to get the community. I've got two problems. So I got to get the Republicans to show up in the community, but I got to get the community to show up at some event so they can see that Republicans are not racist.
Well, then, that brings up the last point we talked about is at the parade today.
Yeah.
I guess there was really a lot of Donald Trump bashing going on at the parade is what I've been hearing in news reports.
Yes. Yeah.
That makes us just want to stay at home. Now, why should I go down there and listen to this?
Well, because if we don't, we lose. If we stay home, we lose. So, yes, there was Donald Trump bashing. There's always Donald. Dude, in the mainstream media, there's Donald Trump bashing 24/7.
Yeah, I know. That's why we turn them off.
I understand that. But we're not trying to get mainstream media votes. We're trying to persuade the community that they need to consider other options. But they don't. Right now, they don't have any other options in their mind. In other words, like I said, they're not going to pick up the phone and say, you know what, I just heard Republicans are not racist. I think I'm going to start voting.
So how, okay, real quick, and then we got to wrap this up.
Yeah.
And so when you start looking at the numbers, like right now, black unemployment's at a historic low.
Yes.
Do these kinds of things register at all? You know, Donald Trump's president, black unemployment's
at
a historic low.
If the relationship is there. So when I'm driving for Uber and Lyft and we potentially get into a political conversation, like a lady just last night, she was talking. And she said, I told her I was running for Congress, and she was asking me, which party, Democrat or Republican? So I didn't answer the question. I said, I am running for the people. She said, oh, I like that. And I said, I'm about homelessness, veterans, and jobs. She said, I like that. And then we started talking. And then she said, I hate Donald Trump. And I said, well, you know, he's not my favorite guy either. However, he has helped the black unemployment, you know, so that's when I go into the facts.
Gotcha.
Right? So I'm trying to work it in so that I'm not immediately butting heads with her. Forming that relationship, and then I start to give her some facts. And by the time I was done with the ride, it was only like a 15-minute ride, she's like, you know what? I really like what you're saying, right? But she lived in Broomfield, so she couldn't vote for me. But my point is that even though she was registered Democrat and hates Trump, she liked what I was saying.
You almost have to run it like a covert operation.
It kind of is in a way, you know, because if I said, oh, I'm Republican.
Right.
In fact, I've been Republican my whole life. She's like,
she
would have tuned you out right away.
She would have tuned me out.
Now, Casper, you're making some great points here, and we'll have you back on. So how do people find out or get in touch with you for your campaign?
Yes.
And for your project purpose?
Yes. So my campaign website is Casper4Colorado. It's the word for, F-O-R, Colorado.com. We have a plan to work and win this race this time. So please go to the website. It's all laid out there on the website. And then Project Purpose, please check out Project Purpose. We're doing some, Donald is doing some phenomenal work, and I'm helping him in that endeavor. It's Project Purpose, C-O, for Colorado.org. Project Purpose, C-O.org.
Artie Casper, thank you so much. Donald, thank you. Okay, up next is Bristol Cone Shooting and a great new sponsor of ours, Great Gun Club. And if you love to go shooting, Bristol Cone is the place to go. There's lots of benefits with the memberships, including half price on gun rentals, and also you can reserve your lanes up to 14 days in advance. And it's also John Rush's safe space. So anywhere there's guns around, that's where John feels the safest. So speaking of John, he's going to be up next right after this. He's calling in live from Hawaii.
Brave.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling. Yeah, brave. What do you mean?
Brave.
He's in Hawaii. How brave? Of course, actually, over the weekend, there were some scary things going on in Hawaii. We'll talk about that with John. So Bristol Cone Shooting, 303-985-0989 or bristolconeshooting.com.
When Jacqueline and Brian Clark opened Bristol Cone Shooting in 2015, they intentionally created an inviting atmosphere where all levels of shooters would feel comfortable. Jacqueline knew from experience that gun shops tended to be boys' clubs, and she wanted to offer women the chance to take classes, develop their shooting skills, and enjoy the sport of shooting. In order to provide a facility where beginners would feel at ease, Jacqueline and Brian invested in a state-of-the-art HVAC system that recycles the air every 90 seconds so you never smell the gunpowder. You won't feel out of place or intimidated because Jacqueline and Brian hire all of their own instructors, and they personally train their retail employees to greet you warmly when you come in the door. Visit Bristol Cone Shooting on West Cedar Drive in Lakewood and see for yourself that this isn't your grandfather's shooting range. John Rush remains confident that you will feel welcome at Bristol Cone Shooting.
Let's face it, auto mechanics don't have the best reputation. They mumble a lot, their hands are always dirty, they say names of car parts that sound made up, and it's really hard to tell if they're ripping you off or not. Let's just say that you are not alone if you have ever felt less than confident in your mechanic. So how do you know who to trust? The answer is ColoradoSelect.com. Colorado Select is a group of hand-picked member shops who are all dedicated to obliterating the bad reputation of auto mechanics. The ASE-certified master technicians at every shop are fully vetted, so you know they're trustworthy, and every Colorado Select member shop is fully committed to ensuring that you get the best customer experience possible. Plus, with the Colorado Select 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty, you can have total peace of mind. Stop just hoping that your mechanic is doing the right thing and make sure you choose someone you can trust. go to coloradoselect.com for the member shop nearest you. Keep your car on the road. Select the best at Colorado Select.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
And welcome back, everybody, to Denver's Afternoon Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. And the real star of the show, Mr. John Rush, is on the line. John, how you doing, man? How's the weather down there?
79, beautiful, and I'm about to put some more sunscreen on.
You know I love you, right? You know that.
I do.
Yeah, I hate you. I hate you so much. I can't stand you right now. So, but anyway, so you guys had a little bit of a scare down in Hawaii over the weekend. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we had an interesting day on Saturday. Of course, let me tell you the whole story. So we get here and everything's good. In the middle of the night, the fire alarm goes off because the beach activity hut actually caught fire. So we had kind of a little bit of a issue during the middle of the night. And then the next morning we get up and we're on our walk. And, you know, we do about a 6 mile walk in the morning. So we're on our walk. We get about halfway through. And so we're about 3 miles away from the resort, and we get this message that comes off. It's like an Amber Alert. So my watch is going off, my phone's going off, Terry's phone's going off. You can hear the nearby hotels, their alarms are going off, and there's this message that comes off that basically says, you know, incoming missile, take shelter immediately. This is not a drill. So,
holy crap, that's what I'd have been saying. Holy cow.
Well, I kind of looked at it like, okay, really? I'm like, well, you know, I've been to the North Shore of Kauai, which is where our missile defense system down here is, and I'm like, you know, this doesn't sound right. You know, we've got the ability to, you know, A, knock those things out of the sky. So the reality for me personally was I wasn't too nervous about it, even if it was not a drill. And then I thought, well, I'll start calling a little bit and kind of see what I can figure out. So I called home, you know, called Richard and a few people trying to figure out, you know, what's actually on the news, what's happening. You know, even called Cassie, hey, what's up? You know, look at the news, tell me what's happening. You know, what's the real scoop? And there wasn't anything out there. Twitter was the only thing that was really trending anything as far as what was going on down here. And so
John, wait a minute.
We did not.
So John, hold on. So you were using your time, your valuable time, which was probably maybe what, 25, 30 minutes to call other people. You didn't go to a shelter.
Yes.
You didn't duck or do anything.
No,
Well, they couldn't duck because the activity shelter burnt down, or the activity hut burnt
down.
Right. Okay, go ahead, John.
That's right. So anyways, so we're kind of walking and kind of deciphering. And I'm watching. You know, the funny thing was I was watching what everybody else was doing. Of course, we're not. You know, we're kind of in the resort area on Maui, so it's not like we're in the middle of Oahu in a big city where I guess there was all sorts of panic and things going on and so on. Here, it was interesting. You could see the workers at a lot of the resorts actually, you know, out of the building and huddled up. A lot of the stores that were here, you know, closed up because people, you know, immediately had to exit those particular businesses. We heard later that even a lot of the tour companies that were out with boats doing whale watching, things like that, they brought all their people back into shore because it was about 40 minutes before we got any sort of an all clear. Now, I knew ahead of time because there were things coming through Twitter and other things that actually said, hey, this was just, you know, a mistake that was made. And so we sort of got word even before they sent something out through the alert system that said this was a mistake. It's not real and so on and so forth. But it was interesting just to kind of watch all the different people. And it was funny. Most of the tourists, most people were just sort of jovial and kind of joking and laughing. And there wasn't a ton of panic from a lot of people. I mean, everybody was on their phone. I will give you that. I mean, the entire phone system was bottled up to the point where you couldn't even send any kind of a post out on social media or anything like that. So you could tell that everything was bottled up that way, which would be really weird in a real, real emergency. You could just imagine the panic and the pandemonium that would really happen. And the ability to communicate literally probably goes away. Something, Dan, you and I can talk about even when I get back and what do you do in those circumstances. Because in a real emergency, you're probably not going to be making a lot of phone calls and doing things just because everything gets so jammed up. But anyways, make a long story short, you know, we basically, you know, by the time we got the all clear, we were almost back to the resort, and, you know, it was really a lot to do about nothing. But I guess in other parts of the islands, especially the more populated areas, it was pretty much, you know, pandemonium, and people were really upset. And why in the world it took them 40 minutes to figure out that it was a false alarm?
Well,
I mean, I gotta believe there's more to it than that.
Yeah, to let everybody know. I mean, 40 minutes, that's an eternity in something like that. And,
yeah,
you know, 40
minutes is a long time.
Yeah, it's a really long time. And then you hear that the same guy, you know, that sets off the alarm is also the guy that confirms the alarm. So there's no, you know, there's no redundancy or you know, second set of eyes or anything. And then they don't even fire the guy. I mean, come on.
Yeah, he needs canned. The whole system needs revamped. I mean, and to look at a lot of the, you know, after the fact, look at a lot of Twitter and the stars and, you know, just some of the stupidity that's out there when it comes to Hollywood and these people blaming Trump for what happened. I'm thinking, you people are just absolute, total, you know, just morons. I don't know how else to say it. They're just total morons. Because when you were down here and looking at what was going on, first of all, it's not Trump's fault. Second of all, he didn't push the button. Some knucklehead did that had no clue what was going on. Middle of a shift change or something is what's being said. And
John, we think the timing's somewhat suspicious on all this. And and quite frankly, we really think that knowing the jokester that you are, we think you snuck in there and pushed that button.
I went and pushed it. Exactly right.
We think you went and did this.
You know, the funniest part about it, Dan, was that, you know, during that whole time, I mean, it just kind of shows you that, you know, if you know where you're going when it's all said and done, you know, we were just kind of laughing and joking, and I was even joking with Richard, and, you know, I mean, we didn't really call up and say our last goodbyes or anything along those lines. It was kind of weird, though, because I kept looking in the sky thinking, you know, and then those things, dumb things, I'm like, why am I looking in the sky? If this thing's coming, what am I going to do about it anyway?
Because it subconsciously puts that in your head, that there's something wrong, something out there.
Hey, John, did you happen to see, notice around you in the post-World War II, older people, how they, because, I mean, December, you know, 6th, 1941.
7th.
December 7th, thank you. I'm sorry. I should know my history better than that. You know, because it was a real thing that happened, you know, the attack on Pearl Harbor. Did you happen to see any post-World War II people out there to see how they responded to that?
No, it was funny, Jamie. I mean, most everybody, again, you know, because we were, you know, in a tourist area, you know, I mean, there were a few people you could tell were probably a little bit more nervous, and you could just tell were just anxious and so on. But, you know, by and large, I think most people looked at it the same way we did. It was sort of like, you know, this really can't be real. I mean, come on, we've got enough. Especially those guys, they know we've got enough defense systems in place that, you know, you look at that and you're thinking, well, time out. There's just all of the, you started using, at least for me, you started using common sense and thinking, wait a minute, if there is one coming, our ability to knock the thing out of the sky before it even gets halfway here is really huge and enormous. I mean, I've been on the North Shore of Kauai when there have been those missile tests where we've actually done a live test. You watch the rocket take off the shore. I mean, we've got the ability to do some things that just people rationally weren't thinking through during all of that, where just between all of us, I wasn't bothered in the least, but a lot of other people were.
So I got to be at Charlie, turn my sound on my laptop. Here's the first thing I thought of when I heard this. Okay, you guys ready? Let me get this. Here we go. All right, here we go.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's what I
put the word Korea in there.
Yeah, I know, but it's, you know, it's Reagan. Come on.
And honestly, the first thing you think of when something like that's going on is, I mean, because it could be coming from anywhere, but your first instincts right now are, you know, what did a little rocket man get ticked off over the weekend and decide to, you know, do something, or, you know, what's going on? But again, you know, it really wasn't as bad where we were as what you're probably hearing reports in the media about. But some of the other more populated areas, I guess it was worse than what it was here. Although I think even some of the hype from our side, guys, no offense, but I think even some of our side is hyping this up a little bit, because I don't think it was near the pandemonium that a lot of folks say it was. Now, I wasn't in those big cities, so I probably should be careful in how I say that. But knowing what I know a little bit about being here and watching some of the other people's reactions, I think there's a lot of hype on both sides over this.
Yeah, there probably is. Now, the real sad part of probably the most detrimental part of all this is that if something were to happen, now people are going to be questioning if they hear this, because they've really never heard this before. If they hear it again, they go, partially why they need to fire this guy. I mean, they got the same knucklehead in charge, right? I'm not buying it. And it could really be something,
because
that's why we have those systems in place.
Yeah, the other thing they need to do, too, and this is something Terry and I talked about even after the fact, that I think even down here they're going to have to think through, or even back home, is, you know, you get this alert, it's on your phone, seek shelter. Well, where? What kind? I mean, we were out on a walk in the middle of nowhere on a path. It's like, shelter. Oh, am I going to find a palm tree? I mean, you know, what am I doing here? I mean, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Seek shelter? Where do I go? To the ocean? Do I go inland? Do I go to the mountain?
Well, see, John, that's exactly why
there's not much instruction there.
Yeah, but that's exactly why the North Korean terrorists first burned down the activity hut, because they didn't want you to have any safe place to go.
That's right.
But here's a real question. John, when they made the announcement, were you still putting suntan lotion on?
I was actually on the walk, so not at that point in time.
Okay.
Had I been, I probably wouldn't have moved much. I probably would have just hung out. It's just me. Again, you guys know me. I'm pretty rational, and it didn't really work me up a whole lot, but it did, you know, it did some. And the key here is, and I think the learning lesson that even the state of Hawaii needs to realize, is they've got to get some better systems in place to make all this happen. And then even to inform people, if there is some sort of an emergency, what do you do? Because the reality is here, it would be pandemonium. Not a single soul would know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're absolutely right, man. Okay.
All right.
So, hey, really appreciate you calling in. Thanks for giving us the update, and enjoy your vacation.
Yeah, bring us something back to Hawaii.
I will, Jamie. Thanks for holding down the fort, guys. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks,
you too, buddy.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. John Rush, live from Hawaii.
Now, wait a minute. The tan John
the tan,
Rush.
Yeah, the soon-to-be tan, rusted, and ready.
He's going to be my color.
Yeah.
Get him an afro. I'm going to put him an afro.
I've really faded.
We're going to have John send you... Take you with him next time.
You're fading,
Dan.
I need that.
Yeah, you're fading.
I need that. Who's not fading is Mr. Brian Murphy and Front Range Mortgage. Now, if you have a jumbo loan or need a jumbo loan, Brian Murphy at Front Range Mortgage can help you out. He specializes in VA loans, refis, jumbo loans. And Brian Murphy, give him a call, Front Range Mortgage, 303-500-1900, and tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
Colorado mortgage limits were raised in January of 2017. Today, if you owe more than $417,000 on your home, you are probably paying too high a rate and likely in the wrong loan. Your loan may have been a good option in 2010 or 2013, but today your jumbo mortgage is likely a half point up to 2 points higher than today's conforming loan programs. Many of our clients can now afford to leave their jumbo arm, go to a low, safe, fixed rate, and even obtain cash out for other bills with no increase to their mortgage payment. I'm Brian Murphy, owner of Front Range Mortgage, a local Colorado-only team that's helped hundreds of homeowners to benefit from these recent loan changes, escape their high-interest jumbo mortgages, lowering their rates, and saving a bundle. Call me and my local team for a painless 5-minute conversation to see how much you can save under these new guidelines by escaping your jumbo mortgage. Our number, 303-500-1900. That's 303-500-1900, or visit frontrangemortgage.com.
NMLS number 378844, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
When you're worried about the physical health of your family, asbestos becomes a scary word. After 30 years of experience protecting Colorado homeowners from the dangerous side effects of airborne asbestos, Jim Oleskovich calms the fears of KLZ listeners by removing hazardous materials from your home. When you call American Abatement, Jim and his team of OSHA-trained EPA and state-certified workers oversee the entire process so you may breathe easy. Call American Abatement today at 303-298-8550 to ensure the safety of your family.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, welcome back to Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush Reason, KLZ 560. Dan Muir, Jamie Daniel in for the tanned or tanning John Rush. And okay, so I want to talk about this a little bit. Last week, Donald Trump caught a lot of flack, Jamie, about calling certain areas of the world, for lack of a better term, crap holes.
Yes.
Which I think is exactly what they are.
I agree.
And I don't think he needs to apologize for that. But however, our esteemed Senator, Senator Michael Bennett, thinks that Donald Trump's statements were racist. Charlie, go ahead.
A lot of Democrats have come to the conclusion that the president's a racist after these previous comments, and they point to a series of things he has said over decades, not just as president. Is that a fair conclusion?
I was raised not to call people racist on the theory that it was hard for them to be rehabilitated once you said that. But there's no question what he said was racist. There's no question what he said was un-American. And completely unmoored from the facts. He seems to have this impression that immigrants to the United States, like my mom and her parents, who were Polish Jews who came here after the Holocaust, somehow, you know, come to the United States and just are lazy. And the truth is exactly the opposite. If you spend any time in neighborhoods across Colorado, what you find is immigrants here striving to make
Charlie,
this country better, provide
not,
for their families.
I do not know one person, not one person that thinks legal or illegal immigrants are lazy.
No.
I don't. Do you know? Seriously? Do you know one?
No, I don't.
Where's he coming up with this? It's just left. It's nothing but talking points to bash the right.
Yeah.
It make us look like bigots and haters.
The next generation. So I think he has no idea what he's talking about. And on the question of what's in his heart, do you have any thought, Chuck, that he would have called into question Barack Obama's birth certificate if Barack Obama were white?
Okay, is that it? This infuriates me. They are the biggest bunch of hypocrites out there. We wouldn't even know Barack Obama's name today if his skin color was white.
Absolutely.
He's half white. He's half black. Mm-hmm. And if his skin color's white, there's not one Democrat that would even mention the guy's name.
I agree.
He'd be non-existent. Mm-hmm. So you tell me who's the racist here. You tell me who's acting like racist.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that are elevating him because of the color of his skin, not because of the content of his character, but because of the color of his skin.
Now, Dan, you've gone on vacation before. And you've gone into a hotel, and you would say, "Now this is a crappy hotel. We need to go somewhere else."
So that makes me I hate the staff. Does that make me a racist?
Exactly.
Then? So I hate the staff that takes care of it.
Yeah. So if would any of these people go to another foreign country and go to a hotel and say, "This is a crappy hotel. We need to rebook somewhere else." Anybody would do that on a vacation or just going. Anybody would do that. So why would that be considered racist? I know that's a general little statement about a hotel, but still, it's the same concept.
This is why middle America, normal Americans, not the far left, not the far right, likes Donald Trump, because he calls it like he sees it.
Mm-hmm.
He calls it what it is. We all know Haiti's a crap hole. We all know East Crapistan's a crap hole.
Right.
Right. None of us want to live there. The people that are there don't want to live there.
Right.
So why are we apologizing for the president calling it like it is? Now, I want to play this clip from Glenn Beck.
Mm-hmm.
And this is his reading of the poem on the Statue of Liberty that talks about immigration.
Here's what we always get wrong. And when we come to this understanding, when we truly change in our minds this one error in history, I think we will blaze to life again. The poem on the Statue of Liberty, it's always read like this. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore, send these, the homeless, the tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Well, if you read it like that and you really think it through, what are we? A hospital? What are we? Is the Statue of Liberty saying to Europe, guys, Europe, you're never gonna make it with, oh, that refuse? Send it over to me. We'll take care of it over here. We're trying to set you guys. You're never going to succeed with all that riffraff. Come on, send it over here. You guys can get busy and do some work. That's not what it means. It was never intended to read that way. Remember, the Statue of Liberty was mocking the old system. The Statue of Liberty was used to ignite inside the French liberty. Look at America. Look what they're doing. It was meant to be read like this. Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land. Here, at our sea-washed sunset gates, shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep your ancient lands, your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse from your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, the tempest-tossed, to me. I hold my lamp beside the golden door. That is the message Even the people that you reject can make it here. They will give it all to be successful here. You can make it here.
And that is the dream. That is the American dream. That is, you know, that is why our ancestors came to America's for that, not for welfare. Okay, and speaking of not for welfare, U.S. gold coins, Andy Goss, I'll tell you what, if you want, this economy is going to take off. This economy is booming. We talked to Casper earlier about how black unemployment's now at an all-time low in recent memory, and that goes for the rest of the unemployment rate. It's going to keep going down. However, that sets up inflation. And so one of the best ways to stave off inflation is to own some tangible assets like gold coins from U.S. Gold Coin. Give Andy a call at Hot Coin, 800-HOT-COINS, and tell him Rush the Reason sent you.
Andy Goss from U.S. Gold Coins wants you to think about collecting gold and silver coins as wealth insurance. You have car insurance just in case you're in an accident, and health insurance just in case you get sick. It makes sense to have wealth insurance just in case something happens and you can't access your money from the banks. That's why, as a KLZ listener, Andy is offering to give you his CD, How to Protect Your Wealth, for free. All you have to do is call 800-468-2646 and mention KLZ. This CD teaches you everything you need to know about how to use gold and silver coins to protect your wealth in any situation. And introduce you to the fun and lucrative world of collecting valuable coins. This offer also includes a free copy of The Guide to U.S. Coins, basically the Bible for coin collectors. Start on your way to a secure future with wealth insurance in the form of beautiful, authentic, and very valuable U.S. coins by calling Andy Goss at 800-468-2646. That's 800-468-2646 today.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
And welcome back, everybody, to Denver's Afternoon Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. And so what'd you think of that?
You know what, Dan? I love that. And this is what I got from it. Give me those that are tired of a failed system and come to America where there's liberty and justice for you, and you can work in this country, build this, help build this country to a greater nation. That's what I got out of it.
You are your own man.
Exactly.
You're not kissing the ring of another man.
Mm-hmm.
You're not doing it. You don't have any lords over you. You don't have a king over
you. No dictatorships.
No dictatorship. You set your own path.
Absolutely.
That's what makes America unique.
Absolutely.
That is exactly why the human race has thrived ever since America came into existence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were stagnant for hundreds and hundreds of years. America comes along and pew,
absolutely.
It just, the world takes off. The whole world follows along. The whole world is brought up. I mean, a rising tide raises all boats. America is that tide. It lifts up the whole world. And now you have academia and you have those that are just, I don't know, lazy, self-centered or whatever. Maybe they couldn't make it in the free market. They want to destroy what has brought the world out of poverty.
Well, look at the difference between North Korea and South Korea. You've got people killing themselves to get to South Korea, which is a democratic system like America. And North Korea is under a regime, which is of a tyrant, a dictator, a bully, a small little man, if you will. And look what they're doing to try to, just to get to South Korea, because they want the same opportunities that others are trying to get to America.
Yeah, and I'm going to start fighting back on this too. America's not an idea. We are a country.
Absolutely.
We are a thriving country. Mm-hmm. Some can throw out there and say, yeah, we're an experiment. Yeah, we are. This has never been tried before in the world.
Right.
In the history of man, this has never been tried.
And it seems like to me we're doing pretty darn good.
Yeah, we are. We've got the oldest constitution, functioning constitution in the world right now.
Right. And the only
other
opposition.
Other than the Massachusetts state constitution.
Well, and the only opposition are Democrats.
Yeah, leftists, communists.
Leftist, communists.
Yeah, academia.
Yeah.
Seriously. And for the life of me, I don't know where they think they're going to prosper and thrive if we go to a system that squashes all that.
You know,
that squashes innovation. That squashes freedom. You know, they're the ones that are like, well, freedom of speech. But those systems, those totalitarian systems, squash freedom of speech.
Amazing.
It is. You Absolutely can't amazing. Have freedom of thought in those deals.
It's amazing how many people complain about America, march in the streets, but they never leave.
That's right.
They never leave.
They never leave. All righty. Keep it tuned right here. You're listening to Denver's Afternoon Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.